पूजा बिहारी जे राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बा घर धारी गोपी जन बा बारे धारी तोर नंद नान राजोर नंद नान पर जान राजमुन तेरा जे राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालबा गिरवारे धारी जान राजोर नान पर जान राजमुन तेरा बन चारी जय राधा दामोदर राधा दामोदर जय राधे जय राधा दामोदर राधा दामोदर जय राधे जय राधा वृंदावन चंद्र सारा वृंदावन चंद्र जय राधे जय राधा काल चंद्र राधा काल चंद्र जय राधे जय जगन्नाथ जय जगन्नाथ जय बाला देव जय सुभद्रा हे प्रभु परा प्रभु परा श्रील प्रभु परा प्रभु पार प्रभु पार जय प्रभु पार जय जय गुरुदेव 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 गुरुदेव
जय गुरुदेव
जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस प्रतिपदाचकाक्षरज अस्तो सरस्वती श्री श्रीमार एकते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभु जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस प्रतिपदाचकाक्षरज अस्तो सरस्वती श्रीमार श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य ठाकुर की जय प्रेम सिखो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद प्रिया द्वैत गदार हर शिवा श्री गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय श्री मावयपुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय भीषण नागरी की जय गंगमयी की जय यमुनामयी की जय देवी की जय तुलसी देवी की जय समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा दरबार की जय
गौरानंदी
महाराज की जय
So these are tears of happiness and joy and tremendous satisfaction. And maybe I should be leaving the body every day. Gives us wonderful association. The devotees here in Gitanagari, they have an awesome experience of every few days a leader coming down or flying in, giving classes, and allowing us to somehow be able to they want you to turn it up. Allowing us to somehow to be able to receive their blessings. I don't think I have to introduce anyone, but I will anyway. Our darling, His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj. Radha Swami Maharaj! At the far end, His Holiness Chandrasekhar Swami Maharaj. Next to him, Chandramuli Swami Maharaj. And we hear that we're blessed to have a few more devotees coming from New Vrindavan. And I see a few of my God brothers, God sisters, and I feel...
Amoga?
Where's Amoga? Oh my God, Amoga. So wonderful to see you. Huh? This is like Mooney. I've already left the body. I'm meeting up with Mooney. Maybe not Narada, but with Mooney.
Narada Mooney is there.
Narada Mooney. Oh, I am already gone. So we are in some very unusual spiritual assembly here that looks like it might be Pennsylvania, but we know that it's beyond that. So I want to thank them and thank all of you. And I just sent out today my last letter to the Vaishnava community. So when you have chance, you will see it, I guess, in a day or two on some of the websites. I don't personally expect to be here more than another week or so. But sometimes, even the religionists say, if you want to make God laugh, you tell Him your plans. But I did pray about 2 days ago to see the Prabhupada that I thought it was a nice time now to leave. And so I've started making those prayers now. And so we will see. I still have two more beggars. I read one now. I don't expect to read any more. But my meager perception that I may not be here to read the next one. So I had to choose which of the two to read. And I thought I would read a very brief one on the attitude is gratitude. The title of this beggar is Having Gratitude for the Present by Having More Appreciation for the Past. Having gratitude for the present by having more appreciation for the past. Let me first maybe ask you a question. When we think of Kala of time, what does that mean to us? You help me out with a few answers. As Vaishnavas, when we think of time, how does that impact upon us? What does that mean to us? Don't everybody shout out at the same time? Yes. It's that temporariness. All devouring. Where you read that? In one of the classic books? One of the Greek classics? You read that in what? Where you read that? Yes. This is there, this time. What else, some one or two other things come to us when we think of time? Takes away everything. Anybody else think of time?
It's always passing.
It is always passing. There's so many ways we can look at it. We know how everything materially in time is deteriorating. Something is born, something remains for a while, and then there is deterioration. And we know it shows something is born simultaneously, almost concomitantly, we can say somebody is dying and somebody will die. So it's just as categorical as their birth, there's also death. The question is, what is the quality of life that we have and share, and how much do we live by touching someone else's life with quality? Our own life has as much value as we're able to give quality to others. Ranath Maharaj, almost every lecture, emphasizes being the servant of the servant of the servant. And so we understand that where materially speaking everybody's trying to be the controller of the controller of the controlled. And as devotees, we're trying to see how to get rid of so much acculturation. So many things that have kept us in so many material bodies for so many lifetimes. And therefore, when we have chance to leave the material body, we have chance for greatest victory, for greatest achievement, for perfecting and ending kala. Because we know that kala really has more to do with the material world. Because it's a measurement of how things are changing. It's a measurement of how things are deteriorating. We say we're so many years old, or a building or a construction is so old, a tree. Based on how long it's been in existence and how it's coming to deterioration. So we're all very old, because we're all right around the corner from meeting death. And in some cases, we're extremely old because we've been going through this process of samsara for just so many lifetimes. Now, we all have particular commission to end the samsara within ourselves and to end it with as many people as we can. We are trying to engage in the perfect escape, but we're doing it in the most ridiculous way. Because we're trying to announce to everybody, hey, Jiva Jago, everyone come, and as many of us as possible, let's escape out of this Marchaloka. Let us escape out of this Matunya Dharana. Let us escape out of the illusion that brings such massive confusion where we are honoring these bodies as the all in all. And so when we are in sometimes a debilitated state, it helps to remind us, hey, this body isn't so wonderful after all. Or is it wonderful to the degree that we use it to engage in the perfect escape? The senses are so overwhelming, but these same senses are so uplifting and liberating if we use them in the right way. Time, we see, is one of the major aspects of bhav, avyata kalatvam. A symptom is how he or she uses their time. You'll never come in contact with a high-level devotee who uses his or her time frivolously, whimsically. Why? Because one of the things that nobody mentioned is we see that time belongs to Krishna. And so the more that we are seeing Krishna in everything and everywhere, the more that we are trying to honor Krishna, and the more we're trying to glorify Him, as He would be pleased to be served. And therefore, knowing that it is His time, we want to glorify Him, we want to offer Him what is His in the best way we can, in the way that He would be most excited and appreciative. And we know that He's even more appreciative based on how we serve His devotees. So whether I stay a week or somehow I stay a little longer, that I am extremely appreciative and excited that I can use these last days and hours, and that I've tried as best as I could in my little capacity to try to be the servant of the servant. I still got a long ways to be the servant of the servant of the servant. But we have tried to focus our life in such a way that we could try to offer some way to infuse devotees a little with having more faith and feeling more dedicated. I don't mind styling. But, all right. No, you know. I was getting ready to say, you know, Hugh, I don't have to worry about the sun. But the cancer I get is melanoma. And it mainly comes, for most people, from the sun. So, Sura, you'll be kind to me for a little bit for a while. So, I want to ask you one other question, then I want to read this short prayer. I think this is going to blow up anyway. You reflect on this for a minute. Let's see. I should be speaking and getting out of here, and I'm still trying to be a teacher. What is it Bhakti Siddhanta says? One who has life can preach. I don't have life. There you go. Some days when I'm not able to sleep and do things, I just think, how nice it'd be if my soul would blow away like that also. Anyway, I can spell like in Hollywood. Put my makeup on, try different stuff. You should know we're all on TV, so this is being filmed. So, no, I'm okay. What about this guy? Don't bother. You bother synchronicity. You bring one umbrella, you gotta bring four or five. Don't go there. If you do that, then you gotta bring 200. You gotta treat all Vaishnavas proper. Isn't that right? So, let me ask you one other question. I'll stop trying to act like I got life. What is that quote from Bhakti Siddhanta? According to General Palena, Parvatiyate, just by the example, one who has, who's a scholar Bhakti Siddhanta? What's the verse? One who has knowledge can preach? One who has life can preach? Yeah, Palena Parvatiyate, judged by proof. What is the quote, one who has life can preach? Same one? Alright. That's a show that most of us don't have much life. We don't remember that one. And the fact that I don't, it means I have less life. But let me ask you this question. What are some of the dangers of thinking and living in the past? Let me just let you think about it. And what are some of the benefits of thinking and living in the past? Basically what I want to share with you very briefly is the power of living in the past, of being appreciative for many wonderful things from the past, to allow us to be excited and energized in the present, that helps us to be fully in the most wonderful, vibrant anticipation for the future. But what are some of the dangers in living in the past? So maybe I share two or three so we move quicker. It's like sometimes the devotees, we live in the past as if it's still the 60s or the 70s. or we live in the past as if the quality of our devotion 5 years ago, and I didn't say 10 or 15 or 20, if the quality of our devotion 5 years ago is sufficient for us to sufficiently survive with high-level bhakti now. Hey, it ain't happening like that. The nature of the mature energy has intensified. The might of attacks, that is, have intensified. The chance to grow and to get empowered has intensified. And therefore, the opportunities have intensified and the obstacles also. So by living in the past, sometimes we will interfere with our growth and acceleration because we won't do what's necessary for the present that will bring about greater success for the future. Also, sometimes by living in the past, we forget or we minimize that spiritual life is ever fresh. And it's not about what we used to do or how we used to do it or how Madhavendra Puri or Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami, yes, it's how they did it, but it's how they lived for us to do what is necessary and to become like them. So sometimes we live too much in the past. We hide. We hide behind the great acharyas. We hide behind institutions. We hide behind even our own past successes. And sometimes we hide behind our own past failures. We have a pity party that goes on. It doesn't allow us to accept the present. It doesn't allow us to forgive ourselves for what we may have done wrong, or definitely did wrong, or what others may have done wrong to us. So we live in the past. But at the same time, for us, we can never just live in the present or in the future, because we have a legacy. So the good part of living in the past is accepting that whatever's happened now has happened in the past in history, and whatever Maya has come about, it's been defeated in the past. Whatever great help that is needed has already been given. Whatever each of us needs to advance tomorrow and to go back home next year, next decade, has already been arranged, because it's already been established by our most beloved acharyas, and it's been established by those who specifically want to see that as many of us go back as expediently as possible. So, in this particular offering, I look at time, gratefulness, and harnessing the past so that whatever is going on in the present, how debilitating, devastating, how confusing, that it becomes exciting because of what so much we have to be grateful for. I was just thinking as I was coming down of just some of the classical examples of gratefulness in the scriptures, in spite of reasons not to be grateful. I was thinking of the Brahmin who would only drink milk and was undergoing so many austerities, and he was invited to join the kirtan. The wonderful nocturnal kirtans of the great associates of the Lord and the Lord. And who was he invited by? Srivas. This is something to remind ourselves. We cannot enter in higher circles unless we're invited by such higher resonance. Nobody goes back to the spiritual world who is not invited by a resonant of Vrindavan. Nobody. We are getting a chance to go back because we're in touch with confidential beings who reside in Vrindavan. This is the nature of Krishna consciousness. Just like sometimes there are secret societies, political and economic especially. You can't enlist, you can't join. You have to be observed and called out and invited, because they feel that whatever you do or whatever you're about, it adds to what they're about, and it will enhance the group or the environment. And so this is how personal Krishna consciousness is. And those devotees who have already gone and have gone back, have descended and gone back, they have accepted the invitation, and in their last moments they are personally escorted. As I said the other day, my escorts have come a few weeks ago, and they must think I'm damn stubborn. That why I'm somehow holding on. And I think I'm damn stubborn. And I'm wondering, hey, you Bhakti Tirtha, why are you holding on? Don't you know it's over for you? Death to the soul, death to the body, brings the greatest birth in life to the soul. Because then this most significant aspect of this past existence integrates into, moves away from, eradicates from interfering with the soul. And now it becomes its original saloop and its service. So I'm trying to go ahead, if I'm allowed, so I can be inviting a whole lot of people. I have always liked fame. I've always liked popularity. I've always liked to be a conqueror. I've always liked everybody to know what I'm doing. And I want everybody to help do what I do. And so, even to the point that I'm dying, and I can't keep my mouth shut from sending out different things, some of the boys must be thinking, hey Maharaj, go ahead and die peacefully. It's all right. I accept their submission now, and I'll do that soon. So this Brahman, even though he was chastised, Lord Chaitanya wasn't feeling the normal ecstasy. It shows the potency of the pure devotees. What happens when they come together? It's like now I have no energy to be out here. I'm just energized by all of you and these great, great devotees. And it's so well, I'll collapse. But an amazing thing is he was chastised. Lord Chaitanya explained, it ain't easy. Not all kinds of austerities, all kinds of tapasya and yajna, all kinds of study of shastra, and so many other things is not sufficient. You have to be invited. And it has to be an acceptance and a kingship. So he was invited by Srivas. And therefore two things was happening. Is that he was accepted. Because he really was invited. But he's under unusual circumstances. And so therefore he seemed to not be accepted. But he was honored by being invited. And therefore we see that he was chased away. But he was so happy that he had moments of association. And because of that, what happened? Huh? He was invited back. He was invited to associate eternally. So here's an example of chastisement, or where there could be considered confusion and bewilderment. He could have said, hey, everybody, these are leaders. Everybody, they talk about Paraduka Duki Pipambuti, they talk about caring for everyone. They talk about distributing to everybody, every town, every village. They talk about treating everyone with the same care and affection. But you try also, they won't let you in. But we see his quality of appreciation. We see the example of Mukunda Datta. How he heard on the porch during the Mahapukash, but because previously, and I'll abbreviate real quick so I can read, how he was preaching Mayavadi philosophy. And so the devotees were trying to invite him to be there and to give the full blessings. And Lord Chaitanya told him, no way. Not what for, but millions of births would he get the chance for the association. And did he look at this and think, how is God fair? Where's the samohans of a Bhuteshu? Where's the kindness and fairness to all? Where's that Mudra Goswami, Lokananda, Dikarana, Jagubane? Where is this? Was Hittai Bhutai being merciful to all? Where? But he rejoiced, thinking, at least after some time, I will be able to have the association. And then last, in the case of Nityananda, when he was kicked by Srinivas, of Sivananda Sena, and the case of a great Acharya, who was speaking that Jnana is higher than Bhakti. And we see that he was chastised, but he wanted it, because he was so much accepting the power of seven of the servants, that he didn't want to be treated equal or superior. So let me wrap this up by just reminding us. We're talking about kala, time. On time, everything changes and everything becomes revealed. The best and the worst comes out in time. And as we honor our time properly as belonging to Krishna, then every moment becomes the greater chance to serve. And every moment becomes a greater chance to have more gratitude as the dominant attitude. So I'm looking, and I wrote all of these, you know, while I'm dealing with terminal illness. So now I'm writing this beggar in the spirit of cancer, giving me tough love, helping me to understand and unfold and connect, and others to connect, and others to understand so much of, me to understand so much of what others do that I can take for granted so easily. And for so many others, look a little closer at what I have tried to do and take for granted less. We too much, as Vaishnavas who would be servants of the servants, we take practically every Vaishnava too much for granted. And it has its way of slowing down our devotional creepers to the degree that we can honor every Vaishnava with genuine affection. We have etiquette, and there's that is to be honored, because that's culture. But as we have this great equilibrium of love, then what? And that's the spiritual world, where everyone is experiencing Krishna and feeling Krishna in everything, because everybody is manifesting the qualities of Krishna. Because we are able to relate to everyone now with more and more appreciation, and gradually there's no material world for us. So I'm trying, with this debilitating situation and happiness, and my prayers have been accepted, I'm trying to go deeper with gratitude and trying to offer this perhaps less beggar with gratitude as I enter into the last breakdown. Having gratitude for the present by having more appreciation of the past. It is easy to take so much for granted, even life itself. Okay, if we can pause now with this, okay? Normally when we have opportunities, facilities or experiences, we so easily take them for granted. Think about that in all of our lives, how much we've taken so many people, especially those who are closest to us, for granted. However, when we no longer have time, we're often forced to reflect more on what and how we benefited from what we had in the past. Sometimes it's sad that we don't appreciate something until we don't have it, or someone until we lose them? Why sometimes people get the same thing, and then we have so many things to glorify them about? It's the same person, same thing that was said, same thing that was written, same thing that was expressed. Why? There's something unhealthy about our culture, our relative culture, that happens too often. It's sad that we can't be able to recognize so much qualities in so many devotees. And what to say, those who may make a little extra sacrifice. It's sad that we allow ourselves to lack such in-depth Vaishnava qualities, due basically to aspects of ego, that what is always around us, we sometimes Pashanapi na Pashati, we see what we do not see. But as far as the high level devotees, they expect this, because they come in the world in unusual circumstances. They're on a mission under unusual circumstances. And in some cases they even leave under unusual circumstances. And they are really not here to be glorified or to win a popularity contest anyway. But they do have some concern about trying to live in such a way to minimize offenses from others. And so I've been sharing with one or two of my senior God brothers that they should change some things in their life, and I speak from my own bad habits, that they will minimize others making offenses toward them, and that they will be a better servant by being able to do the right thing, but in communicating in the right way. One of my big problems is the way that I communicated some things that really was due to my faith and conviction. But for some people, they just couldn't handle it and didn't even try in many cases. We have to be the ones who can get gold even from a filthy place. What to say from each other. So I'm hoping that one of the things that happens as part of the way I'm leaving, that it also helps each devotee to look out a little more at who he or she is associating with. And help each devotee look a little closer at how much they are consciously making sacrifices on behalf of trying to help others. And how much are they joyful when they can be inconvenienced and make such sacrifice. I may presently find myself in a situation of loss. Or I do. When I was writing this, it wasn't so clear if I was going to live or die. In this situation, I can become very angry. Somebody's dying. They can become very sad and depressed. Or I can become more attentive and appreciative and full of gratitude. When people reflect on past commodities, experiences, facilities, opportunities, and associations, they can relive and recapture the beauty of the past and involvement, feeling gratefulness, and be grateful for what was available in the past. Presently, I have come down with this horrible, demonic, wonderful, joyful, educating melanoma, which is obviously very devastating. However, the extreme inconvenience and pain created by the present situation can spark that much more of an appreciation for the many, many years I had in the past without any of these problems, without the diabetes and the arthritis and the broken all stuff and the tumors, and we won't even go there. How happy, appreciative, and full of gratitude I feel as I recapture and relive the beauty of the past. And as I look around, I see certain older God brothers and God sisters, and I just jump out so many experiences. I'm not going to go there, though. So much wonderful association. so many ways how they struggled, so many ways how they served. And I jumped up and even stopped me from crying and gave me strength to go on. It jumps out and makes me grateful. I can't share the last part of my gratitude. I'm going to be boo-hooing all over the place. I got all the time to do that. That's all I can do inside. I just boo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, boo-boo-boo-boo. Oh-ho! How much more, you guys? I isn't the time now. So, we might have difficulty eating or sleeping, but we can reflect on how fortunate and wonderful the experiences were when we were able to eat sumptuous foodstuff of different varieties. Most of you now, you can still eat anything you want. And don't worry, old age and just a few other things are going to change real soon. For some just overweight. But the wonderful experiences the sumptuous foodstuff, different varieties, how pleasant it was to have deep, restful nights and peaceful sleep. It's like now for months I haven't been able to sleep. So I lay down an hour and a half. So all during the night it's a ritual of waiting for the day. And all during the day it's a ritual waiting for the night. And then it's a wonderful, a greater ritual realizing, hey, that's what it is. No ultimate convenience in the material world. But by such reflections of gratitude, we can bring forth those wonderful things from the past into the present. I was laughing how, for most of my Christian consciousness, I avoided sleeping 5 or 6 hours. And now if I could sleep 5 hours or 4 hours straight, I would consider it to be, oh, such an achievement. I avoided eating much. If I could eat a full plate of prasadam now, oh, I would stuff myself and I would die overeating. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to die? The bodies come in. I'll die with food all on me. I enjoyed myself to death. By such reflections of gratitude, we can bring forth those past experiences into the present. We can be grateful for the past and most grateful for the present. Presently, we may not be involved in or able to participate in mating and defending. Some of us by choice and some by force and some because we just haven't been able to find a licit sex partner. But that's a blessing if you're a devotee. Presently we may not be involved or able to participate in mating or defending. However, when we find ourselves in such a situation, we can be grateful to not be encumbered in this way. We can appreciate our present, simplified situations, as well as bring forth past happiness, success, and achievements with full gratitude as a way to recapture and relive the healthy experiences in our present moment. In this way, we can be grateful for the past and most grateful for the present. Like I'm saying, I mean, I'd like to leave in a week or so, but in one sense, the present is already gone and the present, the future is already coming upon us. And that's why in the spiritual world, there's really no past because the present is ever unfolding and becoming more and more static. And therefore, there is always the experience and the greater experience and the greater experience and the anticipation of that experience amplifying in the present. Presently, I may have difficulty talking and walking. I haven't been able to walk in almost a year now. 11 months. One can become very angry, sad or depressed, or one can experience great appreciation and gratitude for the past achievements, accomplishments, bringing them fully into the present. we can go into a deeper reflection on the pleasant accomplishments of the past. Reliving and recapturing these experiences with full gratitude and appreciation. By such reflections of gratitude, we can bring forth these past experiences into the present, feeling grateful for the past and most grateful for the present. I think I have one or two last paragraphs here. Perhaps presently I am having difficulty, and I am, seeing, hearing, tasting, and feeling. These differences can make one very angry, sad, and depressed, or one can experience great appreciation and gratitude for past reflections, which involve seeing wonderful things, hearing beautiful sounds, tasting wonderful things, goodies, feeling delightful sensations. Mamuni, is that all right? You know how we used to really relish a lot of prasadam? Exception. I used to be most austere, huh? I would eat only some carrots and a few fruits a day. And once we had this test in St. Louis, and I was dared to still show my ego. I can eat the less and I can eat the most. Ego can kick you in so many ways. And in that glove jumping contest, you remember what the top score was? It was top score, and I was second. But I came out first, because the first one, he vomits. And I showed him. I have won. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to end with this and then end this last paragraph. I talk about community building. Maybe my last time to talk about healthy community. Once a year, we say once, but we sneak in maybe two, three times. Here in Gitanagari, we just drop everything, and I mean everything. And we just go all day to the park. We keep the pajaris, and we send them back and forth. But we have all these sports. And my idea is to be there with everybody, especially the children, and to get all the adults to be with the children, and to have inner competition and inter competition. And we compete with the kids, and we compete against them. And I had these funny tricks that some of you know. Almost every year, the greatest event was how Maharaj is going to cheat this year. So I'm going to reveal my last secrets and wisdom. Because I'm not writing anymore. I'm not sending any more messages out. And the only other communication you're going to have is when I pop in on you in a dream. You better be careful. You better be careful. So, for instance, I'll share one or two, maybe three, real quick. So I had a wonderful way how to win every race. Yeah, it's a secret. I get everybody running, matching off height, size, age group, it didn't matter. We come down to the last best three. And then I tell them, now I'm going to win. Give me the best of what we have here. Leader should be the best. Now by the time I'm ready to race, these three are just damn exhausted. I don't give them a chance to get a breath. I tell them, come on. And when I get over the finish line, I say, once again, I have won. Then we play volleyball. This one, some of the devotees probably don't even know today, my trick. We team up fair. I try to cheat, but I'm not allowed on that one. But before the game is over, I find a way to cheat. I'll bring somebody in that creates an imbalance. But my biggest cheating is that, you know, it's dangerous being around your guru. You're attached to his words and his sound vibration and his orders. So sometimes somebody's on the other side and the ball is way over here and I shout, "Hey, Ezebiel, hit the ball!" And he runs. And he knocks the other person over and they both blow it. And I don't reveal it, but in my mind I say, "I have won." So, my last words is, after all of this, I'm a cheating guru. All of my thoughts about principle student leadership, about community, and being bonding with community, and I bring community together just to see how to cleverly cheat them. So I end here. I don't know why I'm telling you that. I shouldn't even be laughing. I may need the body right here because everything's broken and fractured, and if it breaks, it would be nice to leave here. Maybe I tell something else so I can leave here. No, I better be more serious. Wouldn't be nice to leave in this way. Perhaps presently, I have many difficulties eating, and I've done that. So let me end this. Perhaps now, I may not be able to travel, and of course, then it was a question, now it's definite. As I used to, one can become very angry, sad, and depressed. And you can be depressed, I didn't tell you the rest of my secrets. But maybe in the transcendental realm, we reveal the others. They're actually worse. Or one can experience great appreciation for opportunities in the past, which involve visiting so many countries and associations. And so as devotees come down, I think about how much we've associated in, as warriors in Prabhupada's mission. How much happiness, appreciation, and gratitude I can constantly have by bringing from the past into the present and into the future so many wonderful dynamics and exciting experiences with so many wonderful personalities. And this way we can be grateful for the past and most grateful for the present. It is surely very easy to take so many things that are natural and wonderful situations, experiences, and accomplishments and people and facilities for granted. When the present is especially problematic, when we're too distracted by what is happening or what isn't happening in our lives. And so it's hard to really to glorify or be ingratiating in a healthy way when somehow we don't sufficiently appreciate or we have too much stuff with that person and we allow that to interfere with what else is going on. Practically, as long as we're a mature body, somebody's going to have a lot of stuff with us, we're going to have a lot of stuff with them. But we are supposed to be so hungry and greedy that we can go around that and have such appreciation and gratitude. We can absorb ourselves only with the present limitations, the restrictions and setbacks and disappointments, or we can remind ourselves that the Supreme Lord is always our well-wisher, who is constantly arranging everything for our benefit. It is easy to accept this when everything is going on well, according to our desires and plans. But most difficult, we have to deal with seemingly unpleasant experiences and challenges. We have had so many wonderful opportunities to engage in service in the past. We have so many present experiences, opportunities, and challenges. And we will also have so many amazing adventures, experiences, and challenges in the future. Each encounter, and try to listen now as I bring closure, because we want to try to impact. That's part of my problem. I always try to speak to impact, and that shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be concerned about the results. But somehow we can offer the results to Krishna then sometimes we can dovetail the desire to impact. Each encounter, association, and experience is all ultimately wonderful and arranged by Krishna for our benefit. It is naturally difficult to maintain this constant awareness. If we do, we allow ourselves to relive and recapture past experiences. But by developing gratitude for the past and appreciation for the present, we can live every day and every moment as pleasant, exciting, rewarding, fulfilling, meaningful experiences. Life is full of meaning and opportunities for growth. Just as those who were chastised, and because of their attitude, they grew and they got blessed even more. When we are mindful of the beauty and accomplishments of the past, even when the present or future is not exactly what we would like it to be, we will not be disturbed. Rather, we will still be able to be excited about the past and appreciate and have appreciation about the present. In this way, the future will be even more auspicious because we create our futures by how we have dealt with our past and how we are dealing with our present. Being always reflective, mindful, and grateful allows us to never forget how much the Supreme Lord is sending His love in different ways. And now I close. I am that beggar who is looking very closely at the past and the utmost, and having the utmost appreciation which it is giving me greater gratitude about the present and extreme excitement about the future. So I want to thank you, each of you, and we're going to have the Maharajas because we here are very needy at the farm, and hopefully most of you are, and you come to get as much as you can from this experience. So my back is about to crack, so I'm going to go, but I want everybody to stay, and while the Maharajas answer questions and share as they like to share with you, and then in about 45 minutes, an hour, and you can even stay a little longer if you like, the Bodhisattva Sadam arranged for everyone. And so I end with it surely this afternoon, having so much to be grateful for, so much as I connect with all of you from the past, as we connect to the present, and we damn sure try to see how we're going to make this movement strong for the future. And we can't wait for somebody else to do it. We have to take on whatever is necessary ourselves to guarantee that we can offer Prabhupada something higher and higher every year. So you just chant the Trinity for about a minute till I go, and then you allow these wonderful devotees who are not guru cheaters and concoctors, and you can hear from them without any ambiguity and paranoia. Maybe you can hear from me also, a dying man, what does he have? So I think you can hear from all of us, because the dying man, he has nothing to hold back. He's actually dangerous. Huh? I'm like a loose cannon in these last weeks. Some people, they're just wondering every moment, what am I going to send out? But they don't have to worry anymore. I ain't sending nothing else, so I revealed some of my most intimate secrets now. And so, I've given over my power. I revealed my most intimate secrets. Hey, I gotta go. Die. Somebody chant Namaste. What microphone? Maharaj, wait, what do you can chant Namaste? Chandrasekhar? Pull the microphone over to Chandrasekhar.
Namaste, Narasingaya. Prahlada Lada Dayane. Hiranyakasi Purbaksa. Silatanga nakalae.
Silatanga nakalae.
Ito ne singo parato ne singo. Yato yato yamitato ne singo. Bahe ne singo, hridaye ne singo. Narasingha amadim saranam prapadaye. Tavakara kamalabare nakam. Adbhuta Singham Dalita Hiranyakasipu Tahanu Bringam Kehe Savadritta Nara Hari Rupa Jaya Jagadisare Jaya Jagadisare Jaya Jagadisare. Avagara kamalabare nakam Adbhuta Singham Dalita Hiranyakasipu Tanu Bringam Kesavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisa Hare Jaya Jagadisa Hare, Jaya Jagadisa Hare. Tavangara kamalabare nakam Adbhuta Singham Dalita Hiranyakasipu Tanu Bringam Kesavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisare Jaya Jagadisare, Jaya Jagadisare.
हे सवद्रीता नार हरि रूपा जय जगदीशारे जय जगदीशारे जय जगदीशारे Jayani Singh Dev, Jayani Singh Dev, Jayani Singh Dev, Jayani Singh Dev. Jayani Singh Dev, Jayani Singh Dev, Jayani Singh Dev, Jayani Singh Dev. Jayani Singh Dev, Jayani Singh Dev, Jayani Singh Dev, Jayani Singh Dev. Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj. Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj.